seriously, Greek internet, you have gone the most pixelated. You've more pixelated than Mark ever was when he was in the middle of nowhere.
No, I'm using someone's 5G hotspot for this one. If I was using the actual hotel Wi-Fi here.
I 5G'd before in the past when my internet was bad.
It sometimes has to be done, but I'll tell you that I've never seen upload speed start with a decimal point before.
Oh, you really? See my upload speed when I was on Sky before it was fixed.
Did it have a decimal point to begin?
Your spadding, didn't it?
Did you see my upload speeds when I was in the top floor of your bloody flat for GoFest
No,
weekend?
Funnily enough, I was enjoying my nice 500 megabit or whatever.
Yeah, three floors up, that isn't 500 megabit.
No, it ain't.
I think since Milo's in Greece, let's get on with the show.
Because there's a Tropius outside that I've got to go and get.
Have you got anything good out there, Milo?
There's been plenty of Sigalith and Tropius around, though, which is nice because it's been sort of outside of an event.
Sigalith would have had so much more weight if GoFest hadn't had it.
Yeah.
But I like the fact I'm actually getting the proper geotag on them, though.
Yeah, the proper geotag for me is Egypt.
Yeah.
I know it's regional to Egypt.
All right, well, now you're just being Mr. Pedantic over
Yeah,
it.
I was going to say it's in the Greek.
You're like in a Cyprus region.
That's what it is.
Oh my days.
My fault, my edit can't put it in the right location.
Ian creating his own regions.
So, Milo, you're in the wrong place. So, all yours are fake ones as well.
He's not in the wrong place. Sigalith's in the wrong place.
Unbelievable.
No faker than ones in London and New York, matey boy.
Fake Sigaliths. I've got them coming out of my back pocket.
Oh, well, they're properly fake. They're definitely.
On today's show, were we ready to have the ready button in Pokemon Go? What do we think about every day and the beasts return? Yes, the beasts, Pokemile UK, Masterful 27, and myself, Ian Waterfall. We are back for another episode of the Incense Podcast. Boys, episode 137, how are we doing?
Yeah, we're good.
Which beast is who? That's what
I
want.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Well, Milo's definitely Suicune by the colour of his shirt.
Ooh, noise.
Yes. I could take it off and I'm not anymore.
You might be Entei.
Judging by the suntan, I'll be Entei at that point. Entei. Yeah.
Shiny Entei enters the room.
I'll take that. Shiny form.
I love Tuesdays. I love recording the podcast. It is fun.
Tuesday nights are fun, aren't they? They are Tuesday nights.
Nice.
Yeah, definitely. How are you doing, mate?
I'm good. The Apple Watch Ultra is out this Friday. The iPhone 15 is out this Friday. Life is good. And Whitfield is on holiday, but he's still here.
Mm.
Yes, look at me. I'm tuning in all the way from Crete.
Well done.
I try not to miss weeks, Ian. I'm trying to follow in your footsteps. But,
you can only aspire, my man.
I've got some way to go. Yeah, exactly. I'll never eclipse your greatness.
It's lovely, Ian. It is lovely to see all 6 pixels of Milo, isn't it?
6? I've only got 4.
You flatter me, both of you.
Milo in 8-bit. Yes, Francesco. Yes. Milo is in
8-bit. 8-bit Milo.
Can we have some 8-bit merch designs, please, to commemorate this moment?
Milo won't remember 8-bit, dude, but you and I will.
Yeah, we'll remember
8-bit. I know of 8-bit. They had it as an April Fool's event in Pokemon Go once.
Hey, there you go. Yes. So while we're all trying to figure out what's actually going on tonight, people, it's time to
pop your incenses, champions. Let's go.
That is right. And remember that if you get anything a little bit spicy during the next 7 days and you want to shout about it to us, reach out to us on any or all of our socials, X, Instagram, Threads, WhatsApp. You let us know using the hashtag Shiners of the Week.
Clarify the spelling, please.
I certainly can. That is hashtag #ShinesOfTheWeek. Right, boys, let's not break tradition. It's time for getting to know you.
Just tell me about you, mate. Just what's going on?
Now, my boys, we've had a few interesting getting to know you questions lately. We've had not so interesting getting to know you questions lately.
Guys, I've got some good news.
What?
Well, we love you, our amazing listeners, and to show you our appreciation, we are doing a competition exclusively on X. Do you guys want to know what it's about?
Tell us more.
We have got 2 hashtag incense caps to give away to 2 lucky winners. In short, we've got 2 of our amazing designs that were released for GoFest. We've got one with the fascinating global design on for the Global Go Fest. And we've got one, and I've got to say, it's a sick design, the American Go Fest in New York.
Oh, that's on the snapback. That's a sick
on
hat.
On the snapback. They are absolutely amazing. And it's so simple to enter. All we need you all to do, who are listening to this, if you haven't done so already, find that post on X, smash it a big like, follow us there, and repost it. The closing date is the 2nd of October, and we'll be announcing two lucky winners on our podcast released on Sunday, the 8th of October. So go on, get involved, and maybe you will win one of these fascinating, amazing caps. We love these.
Snag some merch, yes.
Snag some merch.
Today, I want to know something that I don't think we've come anywhere near this sort of question before. So what three things do you think about the most every day? And Miley, if you don't say Pokemon Go, I know you're lying.
Well, this is the thing, is what else can I really say? If we're covering like an average day to day, you guys know what I do. It's a case of, do I need to go and make a video? Have I got a video going out? And what event is coming up next? That's kind of what goes in my head at the moment. I'm keeping this professional.
Miley's like,
because that's what we are. Okay.
Exactly. So that's generally all you think about.
That's pretty much it on a constant day-to-day basis.
Go on then, Barrow.
Well, he only mentioned one, didn't he? So that was a bit...
YouTube, yes.
Yeah.
It's all right, just crack on with your own versions.
Great question, Ian. Probably one of my favourite questions, actually, because it is thought-provoking. More recently in life, I've just been thinking about the future. It's been a big year this year, certainly with what we've done and what we've achieved with it. It's what the next bit then looks like. So the future could be anything, by the way, but certainly in our life is a big thing. It's a bit geeky, Ian, and I think me and you will probably be on a similar page. I think about how I can grow my YouTube channel. I think about that every day.
Fair point.
About how I can do it with putting less effort in. That's always something. I'm joking.
Milo can tell you that.
You might. I'll follow you. And I do generally think about how I'm going off Pokemon Go.
Okay.
And
Milo.
And joking aside, and I mean that sincerely, I still love the game. Jesus, this isn't about me going, oh no, I don't love the game.
April Fool's, you can't pull that quite yet.
No. I'll save that to next year. But I am generally finding that the balance is, and it's not that I haven't got the time necessarily to do it all the time, but I am finding it quite easy now to think about, do you know what, I'd rather do that than that. And I think that's quite a nice, healthy place to be in.
Totally. It's a game, ultimately.
Absolutely. Great question, Ian. Very good. Very opposite to Milo, unsurprisingly.
Well, let's see if what side of the fence Vasa will go.
My three, to be honest, like the two of you, I do think about YouTube every single day, and I check my analytics every day, even though I probably put out less content than both of you, what that looks like and how I can improve. I don't like to admit this, but I do think about work a lot. Because it occupies so much of my time. So I'd be remiss to say that I don't think about work. And got to echo what Mark said for my third one. I do think about the future, because in many ways, the future, both work and personal, very uncertain. For the podcast, we've done very well this year, and it would be nice to see that grow. But in terms of a work life, will I have a location change coming up? Probably within the next few years, I will. Personal life, what's that going to look like? Because who knows? They are my three, and they're kind of similar to what you guys said. So
they are very similar. Because like when I say I think about the future, that does include work as well. I probably didn't reference it. It certainly plays a big part on it, because work allows you to play, but you need to be trying to get as much, and it's that word balance yet again, isn't it? We've talked about that on many a time. Balance in any facet is really difficult to achieve, isn't it? What's keeping everything around it as balanced?
It is, and I've tried to, probably not to your extent, Mark, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, but I have tried to balance my time playing events. So for Oddish Research Day, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the show, I didn't play the full 3 hours. I didn't feel the need to. So there is that balance of other things. But we'll talk about that later. What I think we should talk about now, it's been in the game for a while. It's been in the game since, well, GoFest, London and Osaka. So we all love to raid. And we did say about a year ago that we'd love a ready up button in the raid lobbies. And that has now become a thing. But looking on my local WhatsApp chat, looking on X, looking here and there on social media, there seems to be a love-hate relationship with the ready up button. So let's have a quick chat about what the Reddit button looks like, our honest thoughts about it, and whether we think people are using it properly, because there are ways where people are going, you invited me to a raid and the lobby's no longer there because you already started it.
That has been happening to me quite recently, and I forgot it was because of that. I rarely have my game on. I just can't have it on all the time, because real life and all that. I'll be in, do a few things, clear a few bits of the inventory, and then come out and see that the orange button's flashing. So I've obviously been online for maybe a couple of minutes, and I'll click on it, and you'll see it on the thing. It will say there's so many seconds.
Yeah, you get all the animation.
And I've clicked on it, and it goes, raid lobby expired. And I'm there going, unless 20 people are in this raid, somehow with the invitation, which you can't do, but with the cycling of five invites at a time, you just can't physically do that. And I was like going, what's that all about? And then obviously, like you just said, Ian, it just jogged my memory there. It's because of this raid ready button. You can invite people, but then the people in the lobby, if they all go raid ready...
Yeah, the counter goes down to 10 seconds, so that's it. Anyone that's not in, boom.
I think even from a remote raid perspective, it feels quite abrupt, actually. It's quite sad. It's almost like I feel like I'm there, and they go, nah, you can't come in now. I'm like, oh, all right, then. It's an
imaginary bouncer or the door of the raid.
It's like, yeah, sorry.
You're coming in tonight.
Yeah. And also, if you're in a second wave of people sending invites out, and again, a lot of it, honestly, comes down to the host of the raid, because if they
that's what I was
they
say.
Ready up,
yeah.
That's it, it's game over for anybody who isn't in the lobby.
And that's how I counter it. If I invite people to a raid, I don't care, I'm not hitting that raid ready button. I think you can counter it like that. But yeah, it's a good point, good question, Ian. I think we wanted it, and now we're kind of getting what people didn't want from it by having it in remote rating. I don't think it's improved my experience, let's put it that way.
I mean, I too have experienced that whole thing with the ready up button. You find that the raid lobby's expired, even though the invite has got 80 seconds on it, and you think, hang about, how is that possible? Oh yes, the ready button, everybody's already hit it, but you've got to view it, it's a remote raid. These days, most of the time, apart from special events, you can only do five a day. It really isn't going to be the end of the world unless it's a particular friend that you want to interact with. So I'll say, yeah, okay, I missed that invite. I appreciate you chucking it my way, but there will be more raids coming. And if you had the people to do it or the lobby filled up, you won't know. Just let it slide, to be honest. The thing I think that might irritate a bit more is when you've got, for example, a little group of people. We've experienced this a couple of times at a local crew where you've got a group of people, you go into the raid, you're like, are we all ready? Yep, hit ready. And there's one person in the lobby who isn't hitting ready. And it's like how it used to be in 2013 on a GTA 5 online lobby. And you sit there still for the full 2 minutes.
It goes
like,
both ways.
I am dying here. That might be the only negative thing, really. The positive I love is if you've got, you know, I've experienced this on the bus in Greece now, is if you're going past a raid, there's a Bombardier raid, two of us here, let's jump in, hit the ready button and go and do it. I don't have the thing of being kicked out of the raid.
There's two of you, because the minimum people to activate this is two people. So if you are going solo when you're on a bus, so that only works again if there's yourself and a friend or yourself and a partner, if you're a solo player.
It's a great pro of the system, that ability. But the way around that I've seen people doing is if you invite someone, they join, both of you hit the ready button, and then the person who doesn't want to do the remote raid jumps out, and then you can do it, so you have hit the ready button on your own.
Okay, that's fair.
It's a way around. But I think the ready button's good, personally.
The ready button is good, and I think a lot of it comes down to education, because the person that is hosting the raid is the one that essentially controls when you go in. You can have seven people in a raid. If six of them ready up and the host hasn't, they are the one that can wait for everyone that they've invited to join. Let's say that it's an invite sort of scenario here. Milo hosts a raid, and I'm using you as an example. You don't actually do this. Listeners, he doesn't do this, to the best of my knowledge. He sends out his 10 invites, then pushes ready, and then the second batch of people can't get on board.
Yes,
so a lot of it is down to how it's managed.
Yeah.
And equally in person, it can be quite exclusive in that a little tight group of people do all ready up, and then a little old lady comes down the street, wants to join the raid, but too late, we've already readied up, you're going to have to find somebody else to raid with, love.
Yeah, love.
I do feel it's a great addition, and we asked for this. I think it was last year's Christmas show, we were talking about this was something that we wanted. But I do feel that it's quite polarizing and can be quite exclusive of people wanting to raid as well.
Do you know what I think, though? Like, and I'll put my take on it. And, you know, because we've proven now with this new system in place, you can, if you manage it incorrectly, create a situation. I really do have an issue that if I want to do a one-star raid or whatever, you know, on my own, or Do you know what?
I know where you're going.
You know where I'm going with this, don't you? Yeah. You know exactly where I'm going with this. You just want to go in there, don't you? Start it. Go, I'm here on my own. I'm in person. Just, I'm ready. Let me do it.
Yeah, a Barside in the chat has literally said there should be a ready button for 1 and 3 star raids or private lobbies that you can literally just ready up at any point.
Absolutely.
Who wants to wait around for 2 minutes to start a raid if you're soloing a 1 star swaddle? Seriously.
Seal. Seal or swaddle. Great point from Barside there. I think everyone's thinking it. I think when it came out, there was certainly that thought that it was going to work like that. Now, one person or two people doesn't really make any difference, in my opinion. Again, now I understand why lobbies expire with numerous seconds on the clock from hitting I'm ready to them trying to get into it. I think I have kind of made a bit of peace with it now, but I certainly didn't know at the beginning, mate. I was going, what the hell's going on here? I was
like, this is... And as I say, people automatically go straight to the remote side of it, but this is a thing in person as well.
Yes.
I think you are right in the sense that it's education of the system, and it's going to have to couple up with Campfire and using the chat or whatever on that sort of system. The other benefit of the ready up button is that now if a lobby hits 20 players, it goes to 10 seconds immediately, whereas back in the day it used to just sit there and still tick down.
That is a very, and we experience this at
GoFest, and it means that raids can go much faster, and it means that the refresh on a fresh lobby for other players who are around who didn't get into a lobby of 20 can get going faster, and you can figure things out quicker, which is great. But
yeah, it comes down to community leaders, doesn't it?
That comes down to in-person inclusivity, and I don't know, if you're doing the raid, if you're in the lobby, then you kind of got to go back and forth, and if you have hit the ready button, then you should be aware of the people who are sort of around you perhaps and try and be accommodating. I can only speak from the remote person kind of perspective. You hit the nail on the head. It's the person who sent the invites, who's hosting the raid. They got to be in control of when that lobby hits the ready button. Everybody else can hit ready. I don't know, if I send out 10 invites, I'm not going to hit that ready button because I want to try and get as many people in as possible. Personally, I think it's a bit rude of me to send out invites and then call it quits on you.
Well, precisely. It's not fair on the people you're inviting, is it? And I will leave it till about 20, sort of 6, 25 seconds, because I think at 20 automatically stops, the button goes away. So I tend to leave it as late as possible before I will even contemplate pushing the ready button. But there's always about 26, 25 seconds before I'll push ready.
It's a good one, isn't it? Like, it's just nice that the game's evolved quite a lot, actually, hasn't it? Because like, I still look at old clips of me playing the game. You see all these little additions to it, and this is the thing that we said would never happen.
We did.
Ian, you hit the nail on the head then, and you did, Milo. It's about how your community is, how you manage it, remote or in person. There's still that common decency. If you're starting it, then you have the right to make sure it's a consistent experience for people, because it is by people actually control people's experiences of it, don't they? And that could be also damaging to the game. I didn't think it was going to happen. Yeah.
You hit the nail on the head, Mark. And Sue in the chat said, people in my local crew didn't even realise that if they hit the ready button, they can't invite more people. There really isn't a good explanation of what the ready button does. Mm. It's never really been explained other than push ready and you can start the raid.
No, that itself is a common theme in Pokemon Go in so many aspects. Like in terms of
there's
the tutorial.
There's never been an instruction manual for this game.
There's that tiny raid tutorial that has the Pidgeys surrounding the Charizard and the intro to the game, and that's literally it. The rest of it is figure it yourself. One thing I was thinking about when people were saying what a ready to raid button could do is it could be viewed as exclusive and exclude people and be used maliciously. But we've had private raid lobbies as a function since the beginning of raids. It's no more exclusive and malicious than it could already have been with private lobbies. In fact, I have seen that utilized in a negative way. The ready button, you know, if you manage it correctly, can only really be a positive. It's only the case of somebody might miss out on a raid because they just missed it. But that could go the same if they didn't have the ready button. You still have those 100%. Circumstances of it used to tick down to 2 minutes, try to join the lobby and you've missed it by 2 seconds because it went to 10 seconds on their timer.
Oh, you do. People get stuck in traffic. They can't get to the raid.
Just it's down to the players, really, to try and make the most of the new system. But I personally very much enjoy the ability to say, hey, we've got a crew of people. We're going to go around. We've got the right numbers in cars. Everybody's in. Hit the ready button. Go. And you just get the raid train system so good.
Oh, exactly. I mean,
it's
a game changer for raid days. Totally is.
Everything they're doing is to speed up the game, isn't it?
People's attention span. Yeah, people don't have attention spans. Everything is quick.
And the other thing was, like, they've just recently updated in one of the latest patches, haven't they? The trading sequence. That's now sped up as well.
Oh, is it? I don't trade very often.
Neither
so.
Do I. And I saw a video.
I'd heard
saw
about
a video
that.
Which showed you one phone that had the updated version on with someone else's phone that was doing the trade with them, but didn't have the update on. And you could see very clearly on the one with the update, it's already in there, ready to appraise it, as the other one's still got it on the screen in the ball.
Oh, wow.
You know, making the so it's a lot
even
quicker.
A couple of seconds. Oh, it's really? Going to yeah, save a mountain of time.
Efficiency,
attention span, efficiency of the game. I think people get bored quickly. I get bored of trading, and I haven't got anyone to trade with anyway, other than when we do events. But I think it's again, like you said, it's designing that thing to make the experience less chore-like, excuse the pun, but make it quickly.
Trading,
you know,
in particular is tedious.
Absolutely.
And nobody can say they find trading enjoyable. It is a tedious, slow, long, drawn-out process.
It is.
No, it's something you do on the side of whatever else you're doing. If you sit down to do trading only, it is a very laborious and unrewarding process. If you sit down while having a chat with somebody or watching something, or I do the while I'm cooking or something like that, you do it passively. And if you get something good, it's like, oh, that's cool. But you're not wasting your time doing
no.
it.
I used to love those at the end of community days, the sitting down like and do the trading and that last bit.
Yeah.
Almost that last hour was quite fun, was it? But you go, you know, it's evolving, isn't it? And again, that I saw that online, and that hasn't probably been shouted from the rooftops too much.
Right,
there
won't need to be animation. It'll just say caught, and it'll just go straight to your decks.
Yeah, and transferred if it's rubbish for you.
Well, speaking of transferred if it's rubbish, Milo, talk to us. Last weekend, oddish.
Yes, it happened. Let's just have a discussion about the latest research day to hit Pokemon Go. How did you do? How did you play it? Were you lying last week? Let's find out. For once, I took this quite relaxed. There's only so much you can do. I played it here in, was it Hanya, in a sort of medium-sized town. Not crazy number of stops. I think I got like just over 50 tasks done in the 3 hours. It was quite relaxed and chilled. Didn't personally need anything from the day. It was just fun to walk around and look at some interesting old Greek architecture, to be honest, and a very nice picturesque town.
I'm sorry, Mal, I'm not laughing at you. In the chat, Francesco has just said, I was busy, I enjoyed my favourite DJs, because he went to a music festival.
Oh yeah, Francesco went to Drum and Bass Arena so instead, yeah. I can't blame anybody who's probably on the side that we were at, where we've already got shiny Oddish, many of them, you know, other than chasing a Shundo, which research tasks is possible, but it's still difficult to do. The best thing from my day was a random Hundo Snorlax from the Pokemon Sleep research. I enjoyed the day, but it wasn't necessarily because of the Oddish research day. What about the green-fingered rural trainer, Marky, semi-rural trainer?
So, believe this story or don't believe it. So, I was away for the weekend, had a fun time at a birthday party over in Cambridge.
Noise.
How I'd envisaged my Oddish research day to go was that I was going to get home probably about 3:45-ish, and I was going to play the last hour. I didn't need any, like you said, and for me, it was purely going back to the previous part.
You got the second most, hadn't you, next to JT?
He had, yeah. It was only one behind the Shiny King.
And that was why I wanted to play it. It was purely to create some content. Mm-hmm. I had a crazy week at work, and I film using two phones. I left my phone at work, therefore was unable to actually record it. So I then just said, turn around to my lovely wife and said, you know what? I'm not going to go and drive out in the rain and do research tasks for an hour, because I can't film. It's just, but you can still play it. I went, nah, I'm all right. So I spun the one at home. It was Walk a Candy with my buddy. So I did that earlier this week, and it wasn't shiny. So 0-1. Gone in. I watched your vlog. Tell the listeners what you did. I thought it was. I thought you got lucky.
Well, yeah, I ran this out. So I did play the research day. At first, I said I was going to play it for an hour. That kind of was a lie to myself. I ended up playing for almost 2 hours. And the reason behind that is, I would say, slightly under half of the stops that I spun just weren't tasks for Oddish. The actual balance between event tasks and just regular tasks were very low.
I had that here as well. It's like you'd get a cluster of 5 stops and only 2 of them were Oddish.
Exactly. Exactly. Which, you know what, that wasn't the end of the world. I think in the end, I think I did about 36 or 37 tasks. It was just under 40 in the 2 hours and didn't get a single shiny Oddish from any of them until the last task that I'd stacked that I actually recorded while I was here in the house. It was the last task of the 3 that was stacked was the shiny Oddish, and it was a 10-10 10 two-star. It was the worst it could be. Kind of a trophy.
The Tendo. Nice.
I've got to admit, while I was going around doing that, I had flashbacks. And I know my experience is probably unique because a lot of people did really well from the Shiny Audition. I'm kind of fortunate that I only did get the one. But I was getting flashbacks of the Phoebus research day in the check, 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 not shiny, not shiny, not shiny. And it was just horrendous in terms of the shiny odds. But that was good for me because I genuinely didn't want the shiny Oddish.
I was looking at it and I just thought of Phoebus as I was watching you do it. I was going, Phoebus. When Phoebus research day, and we were moving away from sort of Northamptonshire before we moved to the Southwest, and I remember trying to play it after we got all the removal vans loaded, and I was trying to spin all the stops and do all the researches before I then got in the car and followed them down, and I didn't get one shiny Phoebus, and I was mortified. Like, we had like 25, 26 poker stops, didn't get one. I was annoyed, but no one got one.
Many people struggled with Phoebus research day.
It was tough.
Yeah,
I remember that day. That was a tough one.
I saw yours, Ian, and I was going, what? Because I hadn't watched any other people's vlogs. I was going, oh, maybe they hadn't.
I think there's only really Milo and I that put vlogs out for this research day. I don't think many people bothered with videos for it.
Can't blame other people.
No, you can't.
Can't blame
really
other people, yeah.
Couldn't see any pictures of Oddish's holding sunstones. And I thought, did they forget to give those? And obviously they dropped them. And it was,
yeah,
it was,
I think I got
you
two
saw
sunstones
in your journal,
from,
yeah,
from all the checks. So not many, really, considering how many actually checked.
Yeah, I only noticed I got one from a shiny. It's not really the most critical item. It was a nice touch if you needed them.
Were the XXS's and XXL's boosted then?
Supposedly, but I think I only got like maybe one or two of each. Not many.
Not to what I saw. Yeah. No, I got one XXS out of the 55 tasks I did, and that was it.
Yeah, I didn't get many. But I do want to caveat everything I've said and probably everything you guys have said, that as we've talked about here before, we're not the majority of the player base. We are day one players that have played this game a lot. So for newer players or people that haven't had 7+ years of playing this game, it would have probably been quite a good day, quite an interesting day. I did see people on X saying first shiny Oddish, and people did enjoy the day. And strangely, it was a research day. It was fun. Bring on the next research day. Just please don't let it be Bellsprout or something.
No, let's have a different typing. Yeah. I'm trying to think back because the last one we had was Stunfisk.
And I enjoyed that one.
Well, you had the two, didn't you? Because of the Galarian, and then there was the
new release, original one,
which was the gorgeous shiny.
They have to create events which appeal to new players. They've got to.
It's the only way they get the game's going to live, by bringing new people in.
And we're not normal players, like you said. And I think that, for me, is the most important thing. Because the way I look at it is very simple. It's like, if you are a day one player, you will have the luxury. If you're not a YouTuber and you don't create content and you love the game, you can put the game down for a weekend. And that's lovely. And then there'll be two events a month, maybe three if it's a really good month, that you go, I want to play that. That's phenomenal for me. And I think that's the choice bit. But we're not like that. You know, we are day one players. We create content. Even though we might go, oh, this is going to be a chore. Everyone has that a day at work sometimes. You do it because it's part of the process. You don't get a week off, or you very rarely afford a week off, because why would you not want to cover it? There'll be someone out there that wants to watch your experience of it. That's the beauty of what we do.
And we pull double duty. We talk about it as well as make videos about it.
Yes.
All about something we don't care about.
Exactly.
But like you said, boys, you know, how, with the exception of maybe a GoFest, do spawns like Oddish get boosted shiny rates? They don't.
Not really. I mean, let's look at Milo. Milo plays the game probably as much as you and I combined, and then multiplied by a factor of two. He still only got, was it 5 Oddish? Which is still more than you need.
Had 5, yeah, beforehand.
Not a big number when you consider.
We think about it as a day one player. It's been as a shiny for a very long time. It's had some other major events, but in the more recent history of the game, apart from perhaps I think the London Go Fest, which is where my last one was, it's not featured in many events for the last 2 years or so.
It's not a common spawn anymore like it was when we just had Kanto out.
That's
no,
a true one.
We've got to treat it in the same view as maybe like a spotlight hour, where the Pokemon gets a spotlight hour and it had a community day 2 years ago or something like that, and people go, why is it getting a spotlight hour? We had a community day 2 years ago. So 2 years is a long time.
Yeah. It's a very long time in mobile, well, in gaming in general, not just mobile gaming.
It's extremely long term in mobile gaming. You know, at the end of the day, it's an hour. At the end of this day, it was a 3-hour event. If you didn't want to play, don't turn your game on in those 3 hours. If I was going to play this super hardcore, there were 3 boosted dust Pokemon on there. Like, you could have gone hardcore for those. Or You could take it chill, take it a bit relaxed, or go to a drum and bass gig like Francesco did.
Francesco made the right decision, but that was the right decision for him. Milo buggered off to Greece.
That was the right decision for me as well.
Exactly. Yeah, and I did a 7.5-hour round trip getting stuck in traffic all the way up from Cambridge, and that was the right choice for me. Do we think for trying to keep the balance right, and I love this word balance, from the day one players to now the day or year seven players, but do we think this is gearing up for maybe something like a shiny charm? There's so many Pokemon now in the game. You can't have them spawning all around all the time. Like I saw, I think for the first time, what felt like an eternity, a wild Cubone. You know, I'm not talking about Marowak and the Alolan versions. I'm talking about just a bog standard little Cubone. I was like, I haven't seen one of those for about a year. It felt like it. There's a lot of Pokemon which people won't have shinies of. And if it is about the shiny decks, do we think that might be something they'll introduce into this game now? It could be that time to introduce it. I don't know, but you can get them in the games, can't you, boys? Am I right in thinking?
I think in the Gen 9 game, you get it once you complete the Pokédex and do a few other challenges. So it's like an end goal. I think the thing with Pokémon Go is it's not really meant to be an end goal game. It's RNG. It's designed to have some longevity in it. And if they don't give you a shiny charm, it's their perfect excuse and reason to keep recycling Pokémon in events and seasons. You go, you know, next year in the winter season, you'll find this Pokemon for the first time in 18 months. You go, wow, because I haven't seen it in 18 months. Day one players will be like, oh my God, I can finally see this Pokemon. And new players will be going, I've never seen this before. So it keeps kind of that basic excitement alive in some way. It does become a little bit more problematic and repetitive when it comes to these specific, maybe 3-hour shiny boost events. But then, as we've said many times, not just tonight, it comes down to the player and their choice. Do you go out and grind all the oddest research tasks? Do you go and chase Shroomish to your heart's content with a star piece on? Or do you just take it super chilled, do whatever you fancy, etc.?
Fair point, actually. It evens itself out, doesn't it?
It does. And I'm reluctant to say they'll never do anything in Pokemon Go because we've proven time and time again, we'll say we can't see something happening and it invariably will happen. But I can't see a shiny charm coming in Pokemon Go, but I can see them putting more of these rarer or older mons in live events. So it will give people a fighting chance to get the shiny at a Go Fest or at an event. But equally, I do see the fact that it does give Niantic a great opportunity to feature these mons, like Milo's just said, in spotlight hours, in community days, in things that they can string out the longevity of the game. So I think we might start seeing, and I think I said a few months ago that we're getting a lot more Kanto mons as community days this year, and it's a case of we are starting to see a lot of older mons come back for community days, so it might be something we'll see more of.
Yeah, I was going to say, so boys, just spot checking around the room then, shiny dexes, Kanto shiny dexes, have you all completed your Kanto shiny dexes? I haven't.
Technically I haven't. The weird thing is it's my Farfetch, because I've got the shiny Galarian Farfetch but not the Kanto one, so it shows in the dex is completed. But otherwise, everything else completed, it's just that regional. You're trying to complete everything, you're going to have to travel or use special events, that sort of thing.
Yeah, now I've got quite a few gaps in my shiny decks for Kanto.
I've got a few like that as well. So, again, longevity, isn't it?
Well, it's a good job they're looking at their shiny decks and not the general Pokédex, because I think we can move from a research day and let's go to...
Play your decks right.
It feels like an eternity since we've played this game. Boys, play your decks right. Let's have a little refresher. If you're new to the podcast and don't know how this game works, I'm going to ask the boys, is this Pokemon higher numerically in the Pokedex than this other Pokemon? And they'll have to respond higher or lower. If they're correct, they're going to get one of these. And if they are wrong, they'll be getting a bog standard. So, let's start with Mark. I'm going to try and see if we can go with sort of focusing on the Psychic Spectacular style event. Marky boy, we're going to start with what was the new shiny for the Psychic Spectacular, Solosis. And I want you to tell me, is our favourite Pokemon, Ducklet, higher or lower in the Pokedex than Solosis?
Lower.
Solosis is lower than Ducklet. Is that what you were saying?
Yes.
Very well done. The translucent testicle is below the small duck. So, okay, Vassafal. The only Pokemon that couldn't be shiny from the wild was Gothitar. Is Zorua higher or lower than it in the Pokedex?
Oh, higher?
You're saying Zorua is higher than Gothitar
not
in the Dex?
Not confidently, but yes.
Oh. I'm afraid it is quite substantially lower in the Pokedex, actually. So I'm very sorry, Vasa. It was, as we suspected, possibly one of the shortest games in the podcast's history. But again, we can't hand over the title of Sir Game to Marky because it's his show next week. So temporary hold until you pass on the baton to whoever it is next week for your show, mate. But well done on a one round, one shot win.
GG's, Mark.
Well done.
Nice one, boys.
You know what, Mark? For your reward, we're going to let you bring us this week's
Is the news. It's quite fitting. The second week that we've talked about shiny Phoebus, that Rev is sending us into the news. God bless his soul. Do you know what I did there? God bless his soul.
Soul Surfish, yes, yes.
Soul.
And it leads into Soul Safari City Experience, which is coming in. It gives us a little bit more information about these city experiences that are coming to Pokemon Go. We have now got some more information about the in-person locations. So we're going to start with Seoul. If I've pronounced this wrong, I do apologize to people that live in Seoul. Insadong, Sasamsigil. But Insadong is a street where the long history of the old dynasty lives. Visit the Samsigil, an exciting and iconic feature of Insadong Street, which will be filled with Pokemon Go flavour. You can get a Pikachu and Eevee visor. Do travel well to those visors.
Same ones that you got to go first, or Safari Zone, or any other event that Naya to go to.
There'll also be event decorations that will welcome you and your community. Just say a little asterisk in it. There will be a limited number distributed to each location, and visors will be distributed on a first-come, first-served basis. However, there are other locations. So the second one that they've announced is Namsan in Seoul, which is the Tower Plaza. Same text here, but you can experience the excitement of Pokemon Go at the heart of Seoul, which is the Namsan Seoul Tower Plaza. And then we've got another one here, which is Dongdaemun, or Dongdaemun,
Dongdaemun.
I've got to pronounce this properly, boys, because I had to get mine serviced, and they said it's not Hyundai, it's Hyundai, or Hyundai. Hyundai, very good. Hyundai City Outlets. Dongdaemun is the trendy hometown.
It actually looks pretty cool, that picture does, of the actual mall area. Yeah,
and imagine all the Pokemon Go players in there. They'll be making it really cool. It's a lovely bit of architecture, and it looks pretty cool, doesn't it?
It does look good.
But basically, they're inviting trainers from around the world at the community hub, which will be at this location.
Nice.
So that is where we won't be, but the real party is coming to Barcelona. We have got some in-person locations. Barcelona's got plenty of stunning sites and landmarks, but we're going to get two. They are the Westfield. Is this shopping centre? Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Surprise.
We've got two Westfield centres. This is like doing city experience in London at the two Westfields.
Just go to two shopping malls.
At least there'll be air conditioning.
I'd love one to be on the beach though, Milo. How cool would that have been? Like,
that would be nice.
It does say love the beach.
Well, yeah, actually, maybe it's on the beach. Love the beach. Well, we've found a location so far away from it, you won't need to love it.
We've found them all 25 minutes away from the beach.
Love retail shopping? Question mark.
In Barcelona, you'll be able to buy a Pikachu visor.
Nice.
Yeah.
Bye.
Westfield Glories and Westfield allow a Maquinista. Stop by during your adventure whilst playing and trading with fellow trainers. Apparently, it's easy to walk between the two locations, and you never know who you might encounter along the way.
Just nowhere near the beach.
Westfield Glories, it says, love the beach. You'll feel right at home exploring Santa Marti, Barcelona's largest coastal neighbourhood.
It doesn't say limited numbers either.
In text, stroll along the seafront promenade, check out some epic street art, and join us at Westfield Glories. Grab some giveaways, and snap a memory shot of one of our photo opportunities. And then at the Westfield La Maquinista, you can head to the beautiful district of St. Andrew de Palomar, or Palomar, where you'll discover more of Barcelona's famous Gothic architecture. And this is a part of Barcelona I'm really looking forward to seeing. Is amazing.
It's a fabulous looking place.
It's stunning. Actually, it doesn't say anything about caps, Ian. I know you said it wasn't limited, but
it doesn't,
actually, we're not going to get the caps, but we are going to get freebies. So
it does say giveaways, doesn't it? So, yeah, it'll be something. But I don't think Eevee and Pikachu will have a meet and greet in Seoul because it's probably too hot, and the actor inside the Pikachu and Eevee would probably die of heat.
Casseroled.
Casseroled Eevee, yeah.
Sorry, not that there's actors inside the Pikachu and Eevee, sorry. No, the Pikachu and Eevee might suffer from heat stroke, sorry.
Yeah, we just want to clarify that.
Does that make it worse or better?
Not Derek and Jim that'll be inside the costume.
What was it, Dave in London, wasn't it?
That was his audition for this.
Yeah, Dave the Pikachu.
Dave the Pikachu. That was London on the Saturday. Yeah. Dave the Pikachu hiding under the lightning tree.
Guys, do you know what? Yes. I think this is a new format that we've said. I do like the idea. It sounds like, even though we're going to be going to Westfield shopping centres, it sounds like they're both in very...
Go to Barcelona and go shopping.
They do seem like
some
they are very
do.
Different experiences. But it'd be nice to have some photos. But yeah, what do you think, boys? We're going to have fun, aren't we? We're going to be out there anyway.
I think basically if the meet and greet is going to be at the Westfield La Maquinista, then that's probably where the Niantic photographers are going to be.
Yes.
We'll swing by at some point.
Marky, we'll see you there.
On our way. That's all the news, isn't it, boys, this week?
That is literally it.
Brilliant.
Dave the Pikachu.
Dave. We need a t-shirt with that on, don't we?
Dave the Pikachu is on vacation.
Anyway, enough about Dave the Pikachu. We have three legendary beasts coming back into raids pretty much now. So we're going to dig it out of mothballs. So we're going to do this section slightly differently because normally we bounce off each other with the counters for these Mons. But there's three of us. There's three Mons coming back. We're going to take one each.
Since we played Play Your Dex Right, we should do this in Pokédex order, in which case Raikou, the pure electric type legendary beast from Johto, and being an electric type Pokémon, it is only weak to ground types, which you are more than spoiled for. So good old Primal Groudon with Precipice Blades is your top pick, and a smattering of shadows you can go for are Shadow Garchomp if you manage to find a decent one. Shadow Mamoswine has been around for a little bit more time. Shadow Golurk hysterically is in the top six.
Oh, I got a shiny counters.
You have Shadow Shiny?
Not Shadow Shiny, no.
Yes, sir. Excadrill, with its upgraded Scorching Sands move, as actually in the fifth slot, which is amazing. You can utilize that. Regular Garchomp, you've got Mega Swampert, you've got Rhyperia, you can go down to Shadow Donphan, Shadow Golem, for goodness sake, even Shadow Flygon, if that tickles your fancy. But some others that aren't ground-specific, you can utilize Shadow Mewtwo and Mega Rayquaza, obviously OP. There's more than enough counters to choose from versus Raikou, given one weakness. Good luck for getting the orange shiny. I guess it's like a tiger, actually. This one's a saber-toothed tiger.
Indeed. Up next is Entei. And as we know, Entei is fire type, so it's weak to ground, rock, and Vasa. The top counters for this bad boy, as pretty much with most of them, are your primals and your megas. So Primal Kyogre, great pick. Primal Groudon, great pick. Mega Swampy. Even if you've got a good one, use your Mega Diancie. For those of you that want something a bit more normal, Rampardos is a solid choice if you're not looking Mega or Shadow.
Nice.
Greninja, if you got a good one from the Community Day. Rhyperia, again, Community Day Mon, good, solid choice. And if you're looking for something pretty decent, sorry, Zoe, but if you got the shiny Tyrant.
Fair dinkum.
Tyrantrum is a great count. It's quite far down the list, but that's pretty much all you need. It's literally, just go in with decent sort of ground or rock types, I would say, or water types.
And talking about water types, we're going to get to Suicune now. Weak to grass and electric attacks. You're looking at Mega Sceptile. Kartana, an Ultra Beast, is up there as
nice.
Well. If you want something a little bit more shadowy, and you want some of the top shadow counters here, is Shadow Electivire. And you do actually have one of the beasts against it, Shadow Raikou. There are loads of other Pokemon that sort of score quite highly. If you're not a day one player and you haven't got these in there, do not worry. But you can use Torchic if you want only joking. That's crazy. But if you've got your one and only Zarud, Zarud's pretty good in there with Vine Whip and Power Whip. I didn't realise there was a Shadow Tangler come out. I didn't even realise that.
Yeah, many moons ago. It was one of those mons just like, meh.
Well, let's not mention it because I sound very unprofessional by saying that. But Shaymin Skyform, if your two is it that we got of those now, are any good?
Let the sky form.
Sky form. Magical Leaf and Grass Knot.
All right, Adele.
Double grass move. But there we go, boys. That's fun, isn't it? All three of them back. First proper raid rotation. What did we say? 2.5 years? Or was it longer than
that? It's been a while. It's been a long while since these have actually been in raid proper.
I think since like January or February 2021.
Yeah, I mean, they were back for Johto Tour, wasn't they? But that was literally just for a day or two.
I will say this is probably a very good opportunity to grind for some XL candy. They'll come as shadow tier 5 bosses. It may be in like a year or two's time, but they will eventually.
At one of these per season, realistically, it's next year at the earliest, isn't it? Let's face it.
Yeah, but well, two of them are usable shadows.
Yeah, I mean, I love Raikou, but Entei is just my mon, really.
Entei's decent out of these three. I do like Entei.
Yeah, I do like Entei.
I need a hundo. Complete
trio. Oh no, poor little Suicune.
And as Miles had recently, the two of them, as Entei and Raikou, get Paradox mons.
Raikou and Suicune.
Do! It's two of them do, don't
they? Have Paradox
Raikou
forms.
And Suicune, sorry.
Yeah.
Yes,
no idea if they'll be good in Pokemon Go, because that will probably be 84 years before they turn up in the game. So plenty of time to prepare.
That's because Entei's hardcore and doesn't need that form, because it is by far the best.
Entei doesn't need a Paradox.
No.
So Suicune and Raikou, they get Paradox mons, but speaking of Paradoxes, what's that appearing out of the screen?
It's not a Paradox, Ian, it's just my pole. Milo, does my pole look pixelated to you, or is it just you that's pixelated to us?
8-bit.
8-bit pole.
8 pixels for an 8-bit pole.
Shouldn't Milo's poll be pixelated, not yours, Mark?
Very true. When he said 8-something poll, there it is. Oh, there's Milo.
Pixelated poll.
Pixelated poll. That's a t-shirt design.
So you just said you can get antibiotics for that. Or an ice cream.
Bit of an embarrassing thing to have to come across.
You want to do that? You go to the chemist or the doctor and say, excuse me, it's a little bit embarrassing.
I've got a pixelation problem.
Pixelation problem around my pole.
Around my pole? Yeah, I don't know if it's my pole or what was on it which got people excited. So which of these raid bosses are you the most excited for? And I did tell it, please vote, comment and retweet. Well, 265 people decided to vote on the poll tonight.
How many?
265.
On a 30-minute poll?
On a 30-minute poll. How mental's that?
Marky is the stamina specialist with that one. Nice
Susan,
work.
How did you get that many people on your poll in such a short time?
Well, we'll have to learn and see if I can do it again, boys.
With great
you.
Girth and responsibility.
It'll have to be on a different day. They can't be on the same
with
day.
With great girth comes great responsibility.
Great girth comes great responsibility. That's a t-shirt design as well. Anywho, so the options were Suicune, Entei, Raikou and Seal. They were the four options.
You did actually look for that.
Seal.
I did put it in there. So we're going to go for some of the comments first. And this is where the gold is on our polls. So we've got Maston joined in and said, Jesus, Marky boy, a phrase I'm sure you're used to hearing when describing your poll, but damn, this is a hard one. Exclamation mark.
But
I love this. Hang on. He says, all four of them bring something different to the table, but it has to be Team Entei for me. Nakeem Brown has said, I can honestly say that I'm Entei Lee certain that everyone here will make the Raikou decision of not raiding Suicune. I like that. And he's put, that is my seal of approval. Very good.
I've got another one. Nakeem, stop it.
Lucy Davis has said, Entei, as I need the hundo so I can have the set as hundos. Nice little flex there, Lucy.
So that's a flex.
I am Pyrus, or I am, what is it? What is it?
I am Prius.
I am Prius has said, seal with it. And he's done a nice little gif of seal with the little gangster shades dropping on its face. Sue Hermes Ninja says, Entei, need XL for my Shalundo. Nice flex.
Oh,
there,
another
Sue.
Flex.
Barside 2 has sent a nice gif of a seal sticking its tongue out. Run CMC. I don't have much candy or XL for any of them besides Seal. Laffy face. Captain Cover has put Burn Baby Burn Entai. I love them fiery gingers like Coops the Casual. Exactly. And Yo-Yo has said, I love Entai. His shape flames. And Matthias Klimt, you are the party pooper on my poll tonight because you just put none. That's
not necessary.
Unnecessary. No. Newcombs also said, looking forward to saving some passes. What does he mean by that? Newcombs, come on.
Newcombs, come on.
You're better than that. Anyway, this is why I love our listeners, because they are a funny bunch. So, in fourth place, with 17% of the vote, was Suicune. Kind of feeling.
Wow.
Seal beat Suicune.
Coming
in there. In third place, with 24% of the vote, we've got Raikou.
Ooh,
Seal finish.
Oh my god. So it's between Seal and Entai.
What are people doing with their raid
pass? If Entai doesn't win this, there is a serious problem with the world.
In second place, with 26% of the vote, Entai.
Look, do you know why it is? It's because you put the Seal option on there and everyone's gone, silly buggers. Yes, sure. Oh,
Francesco's just gone hashtag Team Seal. Bar side, Team Seal for the win.
Team Seal.
32% of the vote. 30% of the vote was Seal, basically.
The win has been sealed.
The win's been sealed.
Stop it with the jokes.
For not taking anything away from Seal, but out of the beast, Entai still kicked ass.
Entai is the best beast. The poll proves it.
Well, actually, technically, Seal's the best beast by the sound of it.
It's a funny one. I love our listeners. They're great, aren't they?
They are. I think on next week's poll, we need to put Dave the Pikachu as an option.
Pikachu.
There's a nice cool callback.
Croydon and Pikachu
definitely.
Versus Dave the
Let's
Pikachu.
Let's make Dave the Pikachu the next cowboy hat category.
Oh my god.
Anyway, from one fascinating section of the show to everybody's favourite.
Shines of the week!
Okay, so I'll jump in first. I have a shiny of the week from WhatsApp.
Oh my god.
And this is from Sander. And it says, hi lads, don't you just love to see it? Got my first Shundo ever. After hitting level 50 during the unlock event, all while listening to you guys bashing Oddish Research Day, makes it feel much more of an achievement. Pooey. One, but an achievement nonetheless. Cheers, guys. Hashtag Shinders of the Week. And he's got the Shundo Vileplume.
Oh, the Shundo Oddish.
GG's.
Yeah, well, big congrats.
And thank you for sending one in via WhatsApp. That is great. Thank you.
You cannot knock a Shundo. So well done.
So on X, Kiwi Steve 007, shiny piggy number 5 completes the nursery rhyme. The very
nice.
Cheerful looking face. Hashtag Pokemon Go, hashtag shiny Pokemon, and the most important one, hashtag shinies of the week. Yeah, in 1,286 checks, my boy got 5 shiny Lechonks.
Good going.
So, well done.
GG's. That's a lot of shiny bacon.
Yeah.
Or pork chops. Oh, pork chops. Milo, I'm going to send you a shiny of the week because last week, didn't you say you didn't think we'd ever get one on Threads?
Oh, wow.
Yes, yes.
Well, we
has
did.
It provoked a response? Oh, joy. I knew if you call people
it
out.
It has provoked a response.
Good. It worked for the email, now it's worked for Threads. Now we just need to do it for Hive. We've got the completion. I am actually slightly speechless. This has come through our Threads social media platform. JStreeter96 caught my second shiny Stunfisk while listening to the latest episode. Cheers for the luck, guys, at Incense Podcast, hashtag shinies of the week. And it is off of Daily Incense, the shiny Galarian Stunfisk. Big congratulations and thank you very much for sending it through Threads, which I honestly didn't think would happen. The other bit of news, it
nice
is
shiny,
now snowing in hell.
Thank you for sending it through Threads.
Yeah.
It's happened. Thank you very much.
And if you do want to send us a Shinies of the Week, a voice note, anything via WhatsApp, you can do that by storing this number into your phone and then just go into WhatsApp, fire it up and voice record us a message or just send us a Shiny of the Week or just a random message. We'll not reply, but we might read it out on the show. The number you need to store is +44 759 269 56. 96. We do encourage you to do that because it's been a while since we've heard any of your lovely voices on the show. And also, don't forget, you can actually send us any of your Shinies of the Week using any or all of our other socials. So X, Instagram, Threads, Hive. You can go old school if you really want to and send us an email, incensepodcast@yahoo.com. But we also want to thank each and every one of you for listening. We're at the end of this episode. We want to say thank you. We equally want to say thank you to each and every one of our amazing Patreon members that support this show. If you're on the bronze, silver, or gold tier, your support means the world to us. We have agreed that we are going to call out our gold members. They do afford us the time to make the show sound as crisp and as amazing as what you're listening to right now. And those of you that are on the gold tier, this list is getting fairly long, are Emma's Ninja, JB, Clifford Mert, Darby Russ, Kerry and Zachary, Connor Lee, MLFalk2022, Apex_171, K-Tech Nagal, Mufti, Barside2, JLH1919, Highbone, and Maz, aka Ozma Lionheart. Thank you so very much for being here. That's going to bring this episode to an end. Don't forget, we do love you to review us. So if you're on Spotify, give us a review that you think we're worthy of. 5-star is nice. If you're on Apple, we encourage you to do the same. And equally, if you want to give us a written review on Apple, we do definitely encourage that. And it's been a while since we've had a written review. Give us one. We will read it out. But that is going to do it for this episode of the Incense Podcast. I think Whitfield's away next week. I think Cooper's away next week. So it's going to be Barrow and myself, and hopefully we'll have a special
guest
with us.
Guys, I know that's good news, but I'm only joking. Guys, good...
It's better news.
Guys, good news. Better news.
What?
Hey, Tuesday, the 26th of September, sees Growlithe featured in Spotlight Hour with 2x Catch Stardust. That's all right.
Nice.
And on that, yeah, nice.
Nice.
Bombshell. We'll catch you next week. I choose you!